beat the Georgia Bulldogs, you're gonna feel the bulldog.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Row 60, Georgia Football Podcast. My name is Clark Gaines. Joining me today, as always, Adam Thornton.
Boom!
And this is show number 111. Mm. Folks, we don't have to go another week without college football, live college football.
Yes, sir.
More playing highlights on YouTube.
That's right. Hey, no more going back to the TiVo and watching past Georgia games that we love from last year or from years past, man. No more just watching these NFL preseason games, even though they're great to watch right now to pass some time by, thinking, man, college football's coming. It's here. It's here. Every Saturday, folks, from now until mid-January, you get some sort of college football.
Yes.
Just give that a hand, everybody. You have made it. You've got through the dog days of summer. Still going to be hot outside, but there's football on the horizon, which means those October Saturday mornings where there's just a crispness in the air, Clark. I like that word. Crispness.
You've been working on that.
A crispness, not Christmas, a crispness in the air for that first fall chill, man, on a Saturday morning, turning on game day and getting juiced about college football. Nothing better to me, man. What a blessing it is that we're going to get to see another season of college football right here that we made it, Clark. I'm fired up about it. One of these seasons of college football, for those old enough to remember, that very well could be like 2007, mm-hmm. where there's not much, I feel like, gaps between a lot of teams. I think you have about, 13 to 14 teams who would it really surprise you if any of them won the national championship and got high at the right time of this playoff. Talk about that, but it's going to be an exciting, fun-filled, drama year of college football, I believe.
Yeah, cannot wait. So on this episode, very big episode, and we can't waste a whole lot of time up front. So
that's right.
We're going to dive into some news, some announcements, and then mainly we're going to be talking about Georgia's regular season schedule, go game by game. Talk to you high level here, what we think about each game and each matchup sitting here August 18th, 2025. So really big episode. Adam, I just want to shout out right off the bat.
Now give it to
our hometown team. Speaking of live football.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Franklin County Lions.
Sir.
And Chuck Holland, man. Franklin County went to Chesity the other night, beat Chesity in a by a score of 14-7. It was a really good game. Overtime, too, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
What a thrilling game to open up the season. So
yeah, yeah.
I just want to shout them out.
No, it was great, man. I mean, you know, I was getting nervous during the game. I found it on YouTube because my daughter's birthday was Saturday, so we were putting together, or I was putting together some like little dollhouse, like playset type thing that had like a changing table and a washing machine. I really don't. Melissa and Doug, whoever they are, they make children. Like toy, you'll find out about Melissa and Doug because they even make some boy stuff too, but especially the girl stuff. They got to be making a killing.
Interesting
on child dollhouse like accessory stuff.
Interesting, I
mean, pretty neat stuff. American made goods. I love that. Love buying. Support American made products, people. So anyway, had to put together one of them, Clark, and I get frustrated when I put together this stuff that is especially from China overseas that you get on Amazon that leaves out some hardware and stuff. I get really frustrated. My wife sees like my temper kind of flares with that. And when directions are awful, they might leave a piece out, leave some bolts out or something.
And the instructions are never clear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Melissa and Doug, they make a good product. And it, like I said, American made goods. They bring it in, man. And so I was in a great mood coming back around, making this full circle, watching the lines on YouTube. Winning the game while putting that together.
Wow.
Made my dollhouse experience putting it together a whole lot more enjoyable watching Franklin County pull one off. But then also it made me remember, man, I should have took advantage of these 8 months without football where I'm going to have to get nervous about football on Friday and Saturdays now from January.
Yeah, that's right.
Love it. Wouldn't have it any other way, though.
So yeah.
Get on Franklin County.
And then this week we get live college football week zero, folks. We got number 22 Iowa State. And Kansas State, who is preseason ranking is number 17, playing 12 o'clock this afternoon, Saturday, ESPN, Dublin, Ireland. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a fun game to wake up to. We'll get some game day, too. College game day will be there.
College game day, man. Big 12 game to start off the year, man. So I'm excited to see what happens there. And, I mean, that's two front runners in the Big 12 in a conference that we talked about here on the previous shows, you have no clue what's going to happen there. It's going to be fun watching them. So that game will have major implications right off the rip in week zero.
You know what? Other game will have major implications.
What's that?
Stanford at Hawaii, Adam.
To figure out who's going to be the worst team in FBS football.
Hey, look, Hawaii went 5-7 last year.
Oh, man.
Come on. Yeah. That's not terrible. I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's live football, live college football. I'll be watching it.
Yeah. 7:30 CBS. I'm going to be betting on this game. I need a bookie.
Okay.
I need somebody out there who is not in the state of Georgia who can put $20 on my Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
All right. All right.
I'll pay you. I'll Venmo you.
You can flush that Thomas Jefferson down the drain.
I feel good about Hawaii this year.
All right, Lynn.
So does Phil Steele.
Well, Stanford's terrible, too. Oh, really? Phil's big on the Rainbow Warriors.
I mean, he assumes like, that they will be better than last year.
Are they in the Mountain West?
Yeah, they're in the Mountain West.
Yeah, so, I mean, they think they're going to win the Mountain West?
I don't know about win the Mountain West.
Because there's another program in the Mountain West that will probably be in the playoffs.
That's true. That's true.
So, could be a tough year. But
if Hawaii ever makes it to the playoff, oh, my gosh, wouldn't that be magic?
Well, they made it to a Sugar Bowl.
They did. And they would have made it in a 12-team playoff that year.
Yeah,
for sure.
But they met the Georgia Bulldogs.
That's right.
That was a fun night. Man, hard to believe that's been that long ago.
Yeah. Mm. All right, so that's enough about week zero. We hope you guys are fired up about that. We will be watching and just talking about it. Hey, Rose 60 Pick'em League. We're doing it again this year. We talked about it last episode. This is year number four. We do it on Yahoo, okay? Yeah. And I've been thinking about potentially switching it over to ESPN, but at this point it's tradition.
And we're all about tradition here at Rose 60. Yeah. No matter what, if it's outdated or if it's not, you know, I don't know, logical to do it, we're still going to do it for tradition's sake because that's how we operate in life.
Yeah. But yeah, we're on Yahoo this year. You can find the link below in the show notes. I'll copy it there and as well as our group code and password to join that. Adam, have you even gotten in there yet?
No, not yet. I need to, though. But I've been looking at it. I've had some people ask about it. Have we gotten the technological malfunctions right now?
Yes, folks. Good. Everybody was could not get in this past week.
There's some hysteria about it.
Yeah, there was.
There's some hysteria about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had the password set to something different, and then I went back, and then I changed it. And so it's fixed now. Our group code is 4510, and our password is DOGS, all caps. So once again, go join it. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of good, healthy competition throughout the year.
Yeah.
It helps you stay involved and invested in the other games besides Georgia's playing that week, you know?
Yeah.
And you kind of have a dog in the fight there. So right quick, I just want to read the tiers here. First place winner gets the almighty Rose 60 trophy.
That's right.
Which we still got to get from our last winner. A $50 gift card to our store, and then we're going to do another guest invite to appear virtually on an episode sometime next season. All right. Second place winner, $25 gift card and stickers. And then third place winner gets a $10 gift card to our store and stickers. So, you know, something to play for. But the trophy's the real deal, man.
Absolutely, it is. You get your name on a plaque that'll be there until the Gabriel horn sounds and the good Lord calls us home. So, you know, you always get to leave your legacy with that. So, that's all. Hey, speaking of gift cards to our store, for those of you who don't know, we do have a merch store. Go to row60.com, numerical or spelled out.
Yeah,
the URL will take you to either or, correct?
Right.
Row 60 or row 60 spelled out.
Yeah.
Perfect, yeah.
We have both domains. Another kind of announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Next Friday night, I believe it's August, 29th. Is that right, Adam? Help me out here.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, August 29th, next Friday night, we will be hosting our first live call-in show of the season and our very first live call-in show in Athens, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
So we're really fired up about that. Live from Trace Amigos in Athens. If you want to join us, you can come eat tacos. You can drink margaritas.
Yeah.
You can just come fellowship with us.
That's right.
8 o'clock, right. Trace Amigos in downtown Athens, a brand new Mexican restaurant. Shout out to Brian Vigueras and Brittany Dix, both Row 60 patrons. They are so gracious to be hosting us, and we cannot wait. It's going to be a fun time. We'll be watching some live football that night as well. We got Baylor and Auburn.
Yep, Baylor and Auburn.
We got Georgia Tech in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I love
lots of good stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, so we'll be kicking off the show itself at 9 o'clock. But if you want to come and hang out with us, 8 o'clock p.m. at Trace Amigos.
I love it.
Our patron members, they got to see something very fun this week. First of all, they got to see some practice notes. I went to the scrimmage.
That's awesome.
Got to see that. That was really fun. Got kind of the inside scoop there, and I shared it with you guys on Patreon. So if you're a Patreon member, you got to see some good practice notes. And if you're not a Patreon member, you should definitely think about being one. Yeah. Adam is $5 a month.
That's right. That
helps
right.
us to go to more games, produce more content for you guys, and we are definitely ramping it up this season in terms of content for everyone, but love especially it. Our Rose 60 patrons. So if you want to join rose60.com/Patreon, or maybe it's patreon.com/Rose60. It's right. that. It's that one.
That's what it,
that's
what
the right
is.
URL.
Yep.
But yeah, go visit us there. Join $5 a month.
There we go.
Speaking of patrons, we also want to shout out the Burkhalter family. Adam, they had a big praise report. We're not going to share the details just because we don't know.
Yeah.
If they want the details,
huge
sure.
praise.
But huge praise report. Really good news.
Yes. Something that we've been talking about, requesting prayer for earlier. And getting to hear that, man, right before the season starts, celebration there that'll ensue is just great. Love it.
Yeah. Can't wait to see all of our Rose 60 family. Here soon. I mean, literally within 2 weeks.
Yep.
We'll be
12 days from tonight, right now.
Oh, man. It's so exciting.
I love it.
So exciting. All right. Well, let's move to Georgia's regular season schedule here. And we're going to once again go by game each week, talk about the matchup, talk about what we like, talk about how we feel about these games. And, you know, sitting here right now, before we even jump into the first one, what's your feeling about this season? Be honest. Now's the time. We've had enough time to kind of process this offseason, to kind of look at this upcoming season, what it's going to be like. We've seen the players. We've heard the fall practice reports. How do you feel right now about this 2025 football season?
I feel good about it, Clark. I feel right now just thinking about where we're at with it all. I kind of just think it's going to be a slow start in the sense of – we need to be patient with this team. I think this team has talent from top to bottom. It definitely has the talent to be in the mix to win a national championship. But I think it's going to be one of the least experienced teams that Kirby Smart has had in Athens. Mm. And in the sense of just haven't been in the hostile environments like 100,000 plus in Neyland, 90,000 plus or whatever in Jordan-Hare Stadium at night. So they haven't seen that, right? That the talent's there. It's not a lack of talent by any means, but the NIL transfer portal world that we have today, you can't just build up that depth you have people who are coming in the starting spots that have been thrown to the wolves, you know, early in their career in the sense and been able to stick around and then get their spot as a junior or a senior, right? So I think there's going to be a lot of young guys who are experiencing their first big-time SEC ball that I think is going to have some growing pains, man. And I think Kirby Smart, somebody who values putting players out there that have experience. And that's something that I think that it'll take a little bit of time early in the season getting up to speed. But then if there's no injuries and this team is rocking and rolling by the end of November and late October, man, watch out. It could be very dangerous, I think, going forward. So I'm very high on them right now, Clark. Hopefully the injury bug – is not as bad as doesn't bite us as bad as it did last season, but I feel good. I feel real good.
Good, good. All right. Well, hopefully you feel good about this first game. Let's start with August 30th versus Marshall, 3:30 ESPN.
Oh,
the spread currently sits at 39.5, and Georgia over the past couple seasons has been notorious for not covering these kinds of spreads. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. If I were a betting man. And, yeah, I mean, so how do we feel about this game? I know we're going to save a lot of this conversation for next episode when we preview Marshall, but how do you feel about it right now?
I feel good about it, man. Marshall's a team who had real good luck last year. All their team and their coach went to Southern Mississippi, and I think they were a really good squad last year. So bringing in a new coaching staff, huge roster turnover from what I've read. So a lot of people who haven't played together, coach just developing his program at Marshall. It should be a good day for Georgia, obviously, even if that program has been established there for a decade against the Marshall Thunder and Herd. But I think it'll be a game where Georgia should come out and really execute just running the football. I want to see what the offensive line does right off the rip, man, and Gunnar Stockton building his confidence up, taking some shots downfield with some of this just talented receiving room that we have now that could be arguably the most talented that we've seen in Athens as a group top to bottom in August looking ahead. So I think it's going to be fun to hopefully be a game where there's no injuries and get some guys in sync and rolling these first couple weeks, man. So it shouldn't be any trouble with it.
Yeah.
L.
I think this is a pretty anticlimactic way to start the season, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Very much so.
Marshall is not.
Last year.
Yeah. Marshall is certainly not a top-tier opponent. Right. However, you know, you can't necessarily go into these games sleepwalking. And it's not even necessarily because I think we're going to get beat. If we do go in sleepwalking, we could go in sleepwalking.
Yes, yes.
Or hungover, whatever.
Right.
And I think we could still win this game. But just from first a momentum standpoint, right? Yeah, first game of the season, man. You got to establish some good momentum. And I think this is a good way to do that. But, yeah, I mean, hey, Marshall, they upset Notre Dame in 2022. Nobody saw
that.
Oh,
I remember that.
That was hilarious. One of the coolest upsets I've ever seen. But, yeah, I don't think we'll cover this spread.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
I mean, 39.5 is pretty hefty.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, never really do, man, because it'll be more of getting guys in, getting reps in the second half, young guys and everything. So yeah. I like this year more than any that we're starting off with a game like this, especially the first 2 weeks of the season.
Right.
Yes, as a fan, you're like, ah, it's kind of anticlimactic. But it's the beginning of the year. It's live Georgia football in Sanford Stadium. So it's going to be exciting either way. But I think it bodes well for what I was alluding to earlier in the show, Clark, that you have a bunch of young guys who are going to be first time in starting role. And or in other roles, man, that it'll be good to get their feet wet there before you have to go to Knoxville.
Yeah, live bullets, man. That matters for sure. So we're going to chalk this up, I'm assuming, as a win.
As a W, win number one.
Okay, good.
And then enjoy the rest of the monstrous college football slate that opening weekend has to offer.
You know, that is sort of a what was the word I'm looking for? Oh, my gosh. That's sort of a nice thing about week one, playing a – not so top tier opponent, is being able to focus on other games, even during the game. I'll be honest with you. I'll have my phone. I'll be streaming something else while we play Marshall. But nonetheless, I do think we'll win, and we should win.
We should.
If we don't win, we've got some major problems. All right, moving on to the next week, September 6th versus Austin Peay. This game is going to be behind a paywall, folks. ESPN Plus.
I hate that.
The annual tradition. God, it's annoying. But
it is. Very much so.
You'll have to pay up to watch this one, or you just travel to the game.
That's right. We'll go to the game, man. So, I mean, it'll be a good family game, high new start, going to be hot as can be. But, but, go out and see them. Go out and see them. Should be a relatively cheap ticket for what they are today. And, why not? Skip a wedding. Skip a buddy's wedding. Skip a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and go.
Yeah. Adam, do you know anything about Austin Peay's offense? What do you think they run?
I think they run the spread.
Okay.
I would imagine. Is what's his name? Will Healy? Not Healy. Will Hall. They did have a young coach who, I can't remember though, if he took the Austin Peay job and then left and went to Charlotte. I think he did.
Oh, wow.
I think it was Will Healy.
Play both of those teams this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll get to that talk. The week of September, 1st or whatever?
Yeah. We opened up with them a couple years back.
That is right, yeah. That is crazy. All right, we're going to assume that's a win.
There we go.
FCS team, 2-0. And then moving on to the first big matchup of the season, September 13th, we travel up to Knoxville to face the Tennessee Volunteers, who are ranked currently 24th in the nation. That will be a 3:30 ABC. That just feels so weird to say. I cannot get over
I know it, man.
This not being a CBS kick, man. So weird.
And so weird that we're playing them at this time of the year. This is traditionally when Tennessee and Florida play.
Yeah.
Talked about that on the whole national schedule landscape last week. But, yes, I mean, playing them earliest as I can remember. I mean, shoot, I don't know when the last time we played them this early. I know we opened up with them in 1980, but I couldn't tell you. Between then, I know we played them like the last week of September there for a while. But as far as this early third game of the year, I don't remember the last time Georgia's played Tennessee like that. So, it's going to be different. I mean, it's going to be interesting going to Neyland, man. If they beat Syracuse, they'll still be flying high.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't had their bubble burst yet.
So. Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be a rowdy environment.
Mm-hmm. UGA has won 9 straight SEC road openers. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Great stat.
Yeah. We almost lost it last year in Lexington, Kentucky.
We did.
But
we
somehow managed to win that game. And yeah, that was wild. They sure will be feeling themselves. You're right, Adam. If they beat Syracuse, they come home and play East Tennessee State, I believe.
Yeah.
They'll probably throw for, 800 yards that game, score 80 points, and really be feeling themselves. And that's what we want. But hey, I mean, this is a, you know, it's not the same. I don't think it's going to be the same talent level as what Tennessee has seen in the past couple of years. But nonetheless, no. I do think this is going to be a tough out for the Dogs, especially with this being Gunner's true first road start.
Yeah.
You know, I know obviously he played in the SEC Championship. Obviously he played in the Sugar Bowl, but those are neutral site fields, not even close to what I think Neyland's going to be in terms of crowd noise. And think of it too. I mean, the offensive line. Mm-hmm. This is a very young Georgia offensive line, or not necessarily young, but just inexperienced right now. Not many starts between all of them. And so communication is going to be huge in this game. I think it's ultimately the most important thing is us getting out on a really, really quick start. And we all know what happened last year or 2 years ago when we went up there. They got out on the quick start, but
yeah,
you know, so it's important we get out quick and get a seven.
You allude to a good point. Yes, Gunner Stockton has started in a huge game. I mean, no bigger stage than a college football playoff start, and then a no bigger stage of being called to come in the second half of a tight game in the SEC Championship. But as far as environment, the SEC Championship this past year, yeah, when Georgia won, it was very loud, but it was probably one of the most dead SEC Championship atmospheres that I remember ever in all the years going to these games that I can remember. And then the Sugar Bowl, because of the events that happened in New Orleans and it being delayed a day, it wasn't full and it wasn't rowdy at all. It was one of the most weird environments I've ever been in. And so it's not like it was a just loud environment for him to deal with in New Orleans either from the Notre Dame side. And like I said, they're both neutral site games. So, yeah, I mean, no louder place really, I mean, in college football than when you go to Neyland and it's rocking like that. So it's going to be tough on him, but I like what I hear about where Tennessee is right now. I think they're going to have a drop off on defense. I think they're going to have a drop off on offense as well, especially at the quarterback position. So Clark, I feel like this won't be our traditional Kirby Smart go up there and beat them 41-17 type game. I think it'll be very tight in the first half. I think we'll be a little bit concerned at halftime, but I think Georgia pulls away a little bit at the end, but I don't see it being as far as just the complete dominance that we've had in Neyland ever since we shut them out 41-0 up there.
Yeah, 17. I'm right there with you. I think this is honestly just a struggle win, despite our success in years past up in Neyland. I mean, we've owned that place in years past, but I don't know. Something just says struggle win in my gut.
Right.
So I'm thinking like a 28-18 kind of
that
victory.
Feels right. That feels right.
I don't know
that
how they get 18, but
that feels right. I like it. I like it. Yeah, chop that one up.
Kind of pull away at the end, and I wouldn't mind that. Just get out of there alive and unscathed. You too, fans. I'm talking to you. If you're going to that game,
it's a dangerous
Lord have mercy.
It's a dangerous environment.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Wear your protective gear. Your bulletproof vest your helmet. Golly, man. All right. The next week we'll have a bye week, September 20th. And this feels weird having two bye weeks like this in the season. I mean, it used to not be this way.
Well, it's always when it falls in August. Whenever you have your opening game on August 30th or August 31st, you're going to have two bye weeks in a year. Mm-hmm. So next year it'll roll off that you won't have that bye week in September like we've had the previous past 2 years.
That makes sense, actually. Yeah. That does make
somehow
sense.
Somehow the calendar. I don't know if it's something that the mind set up with how the calendar is right now, or the Aztec Indians. So however that happened in the world's beginning. Yeah, I mean, I think they created the modern-day calendar.
And the modern-day bye week?
Yeah.
You think they had something to do with the bye week?
Probably. Yeah, so that's why you get gifted. And I like it. I like having two bye weeks like that, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. Yeah. It's not bad because we're going to need it going into the next week. September 27th.
It might have been the Inca Indian tribe. I don't remember. Okay. But it was one of them down there in Central America, I think,
oh, my gosh.
Read the sun and created all this nonsense. Yeah.
September 27th, we come home to Athens, and we take on the Alabama Crimson Tide at 7:30 p.m. ABC. My gosh, this game is going to be electric, Adam. I cannot wait.
Huge, man.
Since 2017, Georgia has not been a dog at home under Kirby Smart. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah. 2016, we were a dog two times. One against Tennessee, we lost that one by Hail Mary.
Yeah.
The other?
Auburn.
And beat them.
Top 10 Auburn team. Mm-hmm. So in 17, was it the last time we were a dog in was it Mississippi State? What Mississippi State that year?
No, we've been favored in every game.
Ever since, I thought you said that we were a dog since 17. Okay. No. All right. I was like, wait a minute. But that didn't sound right. Okay.
Yeah.
How about that then?
So. Good. I don't know who's favored in this currently. I would imagine Georgia is with the home field advantage. Another stat, dogs have also covered last five games as home favorites versus top 10 visitors. So not only have we won those games, we've covered. So I think that's really interesting. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, Adam, you've been talking about this game. We all have. This really is a must-win game for us in the terms of mental psyche, right? Like,
right.
You've got to
right.
have this to get that monkey off your back. And I know that's not necessarily how Kirby's thinking necessarily. But us as fans, we've got to get this monkey off our back.
Yeah, we do, Clark. I mean, you think about it. You don't want Kalen DeBoer to beat you 2 years in a row. And start that, and you don't want to have Alabama snap your regular season win streak last year, mm-hmm. and you don't want them to come in and break the home streak as well. And, you know, you hear a lot of good things out of Tuscaloosa. You've heard a lot of good things out of Athens and camp too, but they're going to have a veteran quarterback in the sense of he hasn't started many football games. I don't know if he might have started some early on when they had their deal in the beginning of the 23 season. Saban's last year. I forgot how they rotated those quarterbacks there. But I kind of think this is going to be a team in Alabama that Ty Simpson's going to come out and do pretty well for them, yeah. I think. And Jam Miller, their running back, he got hurt. I think they're saying it's a broken collarbone, kind of unsure. Kind of that Georgia game that last weekend in September is kind of the timeline of where they're thinking that he could be back by. So don't know that yet, but that's a big loss for Alabama there. They're leading rusher right there. They're number one slated back. So I think their defense is going to be good. Their offensive line is going to be good. Our defensive front is going to have to bring it, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Clark. The closer this game comes and the more I think about it, I felt good about it all summer. I'm kind of not feeling too good about it. Even at home, man.
Interesting.
But it's almost like, man, I'm to the point now is I can't – I just got to see Georgia do it against Alabama.
I know. Yeah, we all do.
You know?
We all do.
So, but I don't know, Clark. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, they're a stout team. They didn't lose much defensively. Like you alluded to, they have a really strong offensive line. I think they – don't quote me on this. I think they bring back almost four guys or something like that. Deep running back room, even without Jam Miller. Obviously, Ty Simpson, quarterback this year. And then, hey, I mean, they got one of the best receiving corps in the nation, too.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Williams.
I mean, really a complete team. And you hate to admit it, but Kalen DeBoer has done a good job of piecing this team together. And, you know, you got Jeremy Bernard, Ryan Williams, two studs, man. It's going to be tough to stop them. But, you know, with all that said, man, we just don't lose in Sanford Stadium. We just don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We don't. Not under Kirby Smart.
Yeah, that's right.
Beyond.
That's right.
You know, one fluke game in 2019, we don't.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. All right. Georgia wins it.
Did I just convince you?
Yeah,
on
you
that?
Just convinced
good,
me.
Good, good.
I was right. going to say, because I've got, you know, I've slated thought. I've been thinking this number, 10-2 type rep, but no.
All right. I sold you.
You sold me.
Okay, good.
You sold me. Well.
Oh, my gosh.
Changed my whole feel was, but yeah, let's just say they win that one.
But put your red and black glasses on, Adam. This is a Georgia football podcast.
You're exactly right. It is. It is. But I kind of had maybe potentially because going back, even though it's at home, the youth of where, and I know that's Alabama's fair. Got some. I mean, that Ty Simpson's going to be a new starting quarterback in a hostile environment. Yeah, so you can say that. Then, but I feel like, man, it's almost like I feel Georgia could lose to Alabama and Sanford, but then meet them again, whether it's in Atlanta or in the playoffs, and then beat them.
Okay.
But I don't know. Let's go. Beat them twice. It's kind of, man, yeah, I'm going to go with Georgia winning.
Okay, good. Yeah, I got dogs winning in an 8-point thriller.
There we go. There we go.
8 points specifically. So
there we go.
I don't know how it happened, but it's going to do. All right. Next week, October 4th, we take on Kentucky, 12 o'clock p.m. Kentucky was 15th in the SEC last year with a whopping 4-8 record. This quite literally might be the last time Mark Stoops and Kirby Smart meet in Sanford Stadium. More than likely.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is, man. And I think on Mark Stoops, what he should do is I hope that, you know, Kurt Ferentz retires up in Iowa and Mark Stoops goes to Iowa.
He seems like an Iowa guy.
He is an Iowa guy.
Like actually? Yeah. Like a native?
I know Bob Stoops, yeah. I think he might have been a Pennsylvania native, but okay. I think he went to school at Iowa. I know Bob did. Bob Stoops did, or all he was right. on the staff at Iowa or something. So there's some ties there. But I think Mark Stoops has some left in the tank to be a good coach, especially if he goes to a school that'll support him in NIL. I know Iowa, you don't think NIL at Iowa, but Yeah, I just kind of think that it might be best for both this program and Kentucky and Mark Stoops to part ways. And I think you'll see, I think Kentucky's in for a rough year, Clark. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this game will be much of a contest. Yes, we struggle when we play them in Lexington, but usually we bring it when they come to Athens.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
So I don't think this Kentucky team's just not going to be as physical as what kind of the Mark Stoops teams that we grew accustomed to having to play between, I don't know, the 18 to 20. 2018-2023 type ones that we've played in Lexington and some in Athens as well then. So yeah. I don't believe in Zach Calzada as our starting quarterback. So I think this will be a game where, you know, the only thing is if you're coming off against Alabama, thankfully they're sitting on the road like you alluded to, a big high, probably nighttime game in Sanford Stadium, man. That it is a nighttime game in Sanford Stadium that is going to be rocking. So you're going to come off a high, hopefully beating them, and hopefully you just don't have a letdown against Kentucky. Might be a slow start, but I think Georgia pulls away
yeah.
in the second half.
One little tidbit about Kentucky and Mark Stoops. Kentucky has had just two winning seasons in SEC play since 1977, both under Stoops.
Wow.
It's like, yeah. man, if you look at that, I mean, it sucks to be a Kentucky football fan, but if you look at that, like, I mean –
Well, I mean, I think he's hit the ceiling now for what Kentucky could sure. be in the NIL era just simply because, man, all their donors and boosters over there, they're supporting Mark Pope in the basketball
right.
program.
Right.
So all their NIL money is going to basketball now. Mm-hmm. So Stoops can't get the allotted money to go get a couple big fish and, you know, kind of have those pieces to get back to 9-3, 8-4 type seasons that he was having there at Kentucky, man. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like he's maximized. And I think ever since the 2023, we were at Georgia Tech, the A&M rumors, you know, that he was going to take the Texas oh, yeah. A&M job after Jimbo was fired. Ever since then, it just doesn't seem like the relationship at in Lexington between Stoops and UK has been very good.
Yeah,
so it's just been on a straight decline mm-hmm. ever since then.
Yeah, thank God this game isn't in Lexington, Kentucky. Dogs by 31.
There you go. I like
that.
I think, yeah, about 38-10 sounds right. Okay. 41-10, yeah, something yeah. like that. I like right. it.
That's more on the conservative side.
Yeah.
And then the big one, October 11th. Folks, we go to Auburn. Night game. In Jordan-Hare, however you say it. They are on a 4-straight losing season streak. That's insane.
Love it. I love it.
And I love it, too.
But hopefully it's 5.
I hope it is 5, too, but I don't think it will be. They have a top-5 receiver core this year. Solid offensive line. One of the most veteran offensive lines in the nation, I think,
yeah.
Return. All yeah. 5 starters on the line, so you're getting a lot of snaps, a lot of experience. They bring in Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, and I think by this point, he would be up to speed. Hugh Freeze will have the offense, you know,
yeah.
humming,
yeah.
I would say. And so, you know, this is going to be a tough out for the Dogs in Opelika, Adam.
Yeah, Clark. I mean, you think about this team, the offseason chatter, not really been good out of Auburn. I don't think they're going to have a good year. Let me preface that by saying mm-hmm. I do not think Auburn has a good year under Hugh Freeze, but there's a lot of talent there, man. If the lights come on for Jackson Arnold, and kind of reports saying that it hadn't yet in spring practice, or excuse me, fall practice, but if they do, if he does just come out, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do in Waco, Texas. That Friday night, August 29th, if they go down and beat Dave Aranda's Baylor team, then they build some momentum and see what they do and where they're at when they come. They got a bye week before Georgia, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that this Auburn team, they're going to retire Cam Newton's jersey that night. First time we've kicked off at Jordan-Hare at night since 2012. We beat them 38-0 mm-hmm. that night. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's a good omen. But I feel like it's going to be rocking. And I just think that voodoo black magic that they have in Jordan-Hare every now and then, I mean, it's not like Jordan-Hare's cursed for Georgia. Absolutely not, because we own Auburn. But it just feels like it's one of those years that Auburn plays above their heads. Jackson Arnold plays above his head, and the ball doesn't bounce right for Georgia that night. It bounces in favor for Auburn every single way possible that you can think of. Just one of those unexplainable things happen when you go on the road in the SEC, especially at night, especially against a hungry team and a rival like that, that I feel like this year, Clark, I've said it all summer, and I hate to be a downer about it, but I feel like, man, that Georgia's going to lose a game either between Tennessee, Auburn, and Florida this year. And I think the more I think about it, I think they're going to beat Tennessee. We just talked about that. I think it's going to be in Auburn.
Yeah. You've got me talked into this as well. Gut feeling is we lose a close one. And it's the same thing. On paper, we should beat this Auburn team.
9 out of 10 times.
9 out of 10, 8 out of 10 times, for sure. Even in Auburn.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Even at night with all the thrills and all whatever, you know. And honestly, I could see this game going, getting out of hand for Auburn. You know, I could see this being a 28-point beatdown. And, you know, by the fourth quarter, there's no Auburn fans left. I could see
absolutely.
There's a very real possibility. But I'm with you. I just think, I don't know, it's just like they're due one.
It's just this gut feeling that, I mean, that why we love college football. This stuff happens, man. Yeah. And it's one of these things that, like you said, Clark, I can see Georgia winning 31-10 there too, especially if things the first few weeks of the season don't go Auburn's way. And, you know, there's a divided locker room. Jackson Arnold's not playing good. They're thinking about bringing in Deuce Knight. And, or I think that's his name. Mm-hmm. So, though, and some, you know, chatter about Hugh Freeze, all that stuff, then yeah, I mean, if that's there. But if they beat Baylor, and I don't know who they play before Georgia, what's their schedule? Let's look at their schedule real quick. Let's see. Auburn 2025. You got it right there?
Let's see. Hold up.
Auburn 20.
Schedule. Let's see.
No, they got a bye before us.
All right. They go to Baylor, obviously.
Yep.
They play Ball State at home, South Alabama at home. They go on the road to Oklahoma, on the road to A&M, and then they come home to us.
If they lose one game, before us, then that place will be absolutely electric. I think either way it will be. But let's just say they do go get revenge in Norman. They do win in College Station. That's two tough tests right there. But if it does happen, then you can see maybe it – I don't know, man. That's tough. But I just have this feeling that it's going to be a tough game that you can't really explain how it happened. It just wasn't Georgia's night that night, and Auburn played – the best game that they played all year. Jackson Arnold played the best game that he's ever played in his career against Georgia just for that particular night.
You know, magic happens. You know who's not thinking this way right now?
Who's that?
Kirby Paul Smart.
Oh, no.
And that's what I love about it. I mean, we could sit here and say, we don't feel good about it, but you think Kirby, you think these kids at the University of Georgia are scared of Auburn?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I mean
– And I'm not scared of Auburn.
No, we're not. You're not either. I'm not implying that you are, but, yeah, I mean – we just feel – Adam and I have all offseason, we felt like we're due to lose one of these games to one of these rivals. And, I mean, if we had to lose one, it would absolutely suck to lose to Auburn.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't necessarily put you out of the playoff or anything. If that is your one loss, and that, gosh, that would still suck. But we don't want it to happen. We're hoping it doesn't. We will be there.
Yeah,
and we will be supporting our dogs, but yeah.
And I hope we can look back at this and just laugh
at ourselves.
I mean, you know, but just yeah. But I'm going with that. I've kind of had that thought that it's going to be one of the three. Maybe you could throw Tech in there, Mercedes Benz.
Oh,
but I feel like we'll be firing on all cylinders come that time. Those young guys really settled in. That talent just rises, man, and it's going to be good. But I still think at this point in the season, there's potential that you could go to Opelika and lose. So, yeah. I'm going to say that's a loss.
Okay. I'm with you there, actually. All right, next week, October 18th, we come home. We play Ole Miss. This is a revenge game for us.
Yeah, yeah.
I want this to be an absolute blowout. Ole Miss loses a lot on offense, including Jackson Dart. They lose Trey Harris. They lost their top four rushers from last year. So, I mean, that's a lot of production right there. Also, they lose a ton on defense. I think just one starter returns.
Really?
I think is what I read somewhere.
Did you see where Pete Golden is now the highest paid assistant in the SEC?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jeez.
He's got a contract extension.
Wow. Yeah. Last year, we only rushed for 59 yards against Ole Miss. And I think if there's one key to the game this year is that we got to put more than 59 yards on the board in terms of rushing yards.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, man. I mean, they don't have any big D linemen like Walter Nolan in this portal class that they have. You know, they had some studs on the defensive front last year, and I don't think they have quite that talent this year. And I think, man, coming off, we're going to say in our hypothetical here, a letdown in Auburn, come back home, you're motivated, you're fired up. I think Georgia answers in a big way right here and beats Ole Miss like 34-17.
I like it, yeah. I've got dogs winning by 17 as well. Leaning on the crowd, big momentum game right here because you're going to need it for the rest of the season for sure. All right, so we're chalking that up as a win. I like that. October 25th, we'll get the bye week, the traditional bye week before Florida.
That's right.
And then the next week, November 1st, we travel down to Jacksonville and we play the Gators.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be it's going to be sentimental, honestly, to me and to you, Clark, as well. So Florida's a team, really a lot of question marks. And I'll be honest with you, this has been a year that there's so many question mark teams in this league on this schedule that you just really can't really pinpoint right now on August 18th what's going to happen. And I just don't think Georgia's going to lose to Florida this year. I really don't. I think it'll be a good game. It'll be interesting if Florida has a lot of hype coming in, you know, if they're top 15, 10, I mean, they have a heck of a brutal schedule, but shoot, imagine they come into that game with just one loss or two losses or so. I mean, and you get the Gator faithful all fired up, man. You just get a heck of an atmosphere there in in Jacksonville. And I think it'll be about a two touch. I don't know, something like 28-17, something like that, man.
Yeah. I see that as well. The last seven times Georgia has won in Jacksonville, listen to this, we've held Florida to 20 points or less. So do you or do you not think that Georgia can score more than 20 points against Florida? That's kind of the question here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. Then I feel good about this game because I do as well. I think Georgia gets, I don't know, something like 28, 35 points.
Maybe 31-13. I'm going to bump it up to 31-13.
Okay. I like it. But yeah, defense wins in this game 10 out of 10 times. And I am glad for once that this will be a highly anticipated matchup, especially like you said, if Florida comes in and they've only got, you know, one or maybe even two losses, they're going to show up finally. It does make me happy to see them all leave and, you know, funnel out of the stadium in the third quarter. That makes my soul smile.
Right.
But I do love a good atmosphere down there. We really haven't had just an elite one since 2012.
I mean, exactly. It is good to have that atmosphere, but I want Florida to lose every game possible like you do. So I hope the wheels just came off and they're ready to run Billy Napier out of
that's
town
fine.
By then.
Yeah,
so,
that's fair.
And then, yeah, and Georgia just steamrolls them, and no Florida fan wants to go to that game, right? So, I mean, that's the same thing with Auburn that we talked about. Auburn can easily have lost three games to A&M, Oklahoma, and Baylor by the time we play them, and everything we just talked about could just be a moot point, right?
So, right.
I don't think I've ever experienced a year where there's so many teams that such drastic differences in their season of when Georgia plays them that those teams could be at and that Georgia could be at as well, man. And that's what I feel like this new SEC, this new NIL transfer portal has given us in college football from every single league now, and especially going into this year that you just don't know where these teams will be at to say. I mean, that, like you said, it could be a just – hostile environment, game day be there, man. SEC championship implications on the lines for both teams. Playoff implications. I mean, heck, I heard Josh Pate predicted Florida to be Josh Pate predicted Georgia to go to Gainesville in the opening round of the playoff. Can you imagine?
That'd be awful.
I really don't know what I'd do. If we played Florida in the first round of the playoffs and then we'd had to go to Gainesville to watch, I'd be juice, man. I don't think
that would be awesome. But, man,
the nerves and the anxiety of going into that game, man.
But
a lot of people are high on Florida, and some people just don't think it's going to work out. And I think a lot of hinges on what's the health of DJ Lagway and how is this defense going to pick up where it left off last year under Ron Roberts and, keep progressing. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch with them. So, yeah, but I still think Georgia's going to win that one.
Me too. Dogs by 13.
Yeah.
Then we come back. Actually, we don't go home. We go out to Mississippi in the middle of nowhere. Stark Vegas, baby. 12 o'clock noon kickoff out of Mississippi State. This will be kind of an easy one to overlook, Adam, coming off the high of Jacksonville, especially if you win there. And then looking forward to the next week, which we'll get to in just a second. You know, this would be a very easy one to sleepwalk into. Noon game. It's really an 11 o'clock game if you think about Central Time. Look, I know Mississippi State, they finished 2-10 last year, worst in the SEC, but I think they should be better. I mean, you can't,
It can't get any worse.
Kind of a thing. Have to be improved. I know they did hit the portal pretty hard. Got much bigger on the defensive line. I think that was one of their focuses for this upcoming season. But, hey, you know, last year they came into Sanford. They punched us in the mouth a few times.
Yeah, they ran the ball well, especially between the tackles, man.
And they threw it.
Yeah, they did. It pretty well. They did.
They moved it on us, so. This isn't a game you can go into sleepwalking.
Yeah, I just think there's going to be too many too much talent for Georgia, even if they sleepwalk and start. But might be a little bit of a slow start, but I think Georgia rolls, man. I think Mississippi State would be next to last or the worst team in the conference again this year. So should be a good win for Georgia and start. And I think, again, for what I predicted before we started the schedule slate, man, I think Georgia will be clicking on all cylinders by this time of the year.
Yeah.
If injury permits. So.
Mm-hmm. This will actually be our last true road game of the season as well, which is pretty cool. Assuming we don't go to a first round playoff kind of a thing. But yeah, I've got the Dogs winning by about 24 points in Mississippi State. That's once again being pretty conservative.
Yeah.
Then we come back home November 15th versus number one preseason Texas. First ever matchup in Athens. I'm so excited about this one.
This one's going to be rowdy.
Oh,
yeah. This one's going to be rowdy, especially with the media hype that Texas is the new just SEC darling, that all of a sudden they've won two of the last four national championships. They've had a better decade than Alabama has, yada, 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 all this stuff, man. So the love affair for Arch Manning and Texas and where their schedule will be at there, I mean, heck, Texas is another team, man. You could see them coming into Athens undefeated, ranked number one, or you could see them coming into Athens with possibly two losses.
Right.
And threatening getting a third loss in Athens and missing the playoffs, man. So another team that you never know where they're going to be at right then at this point of the year, playing them in the middle of November. But I think they're going to be maybe an opening day loss in Columbus. So they would have reeled off wins every week since then. SEC favorite, man. Yeah, they go to Florida. That's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. That's in September, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Early October.
I think so, yeah.
So, that's going to be one to keep an eye on as well. But I think Georgia's going to win it. I do. I think it's one of those that we got their number, and I think Georgia beats them in Athens in a rowdy environment, man. Night game. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. Is this one officially a night game?
No, I don't think it has been announced yet, but it will be.
You think so?
Oh, it will be. 100%.
Better. Gosh, it better.
ABC, 7:30, baby.
Oh, a cold November night playing maybe
all day
number
tailgating,
one Texas.
Baby. Oh, yeah. Love it.
That'll be great. Hey, here's a fun fact. This is pretty promising for us Georgia fans out there. Georgia has won 13 straight SEC regular season finales.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good tidbit there. That's old Clark fun fact right there.
I'm gonna credit that to Phil Steele.
There we go.
I got the Phil Steele magazine, and that's where a lot of this information
that's
is
good.
From.
That's good.
But I did my studying, so. But, yeah, man, this Texas team, they are loaded. They are legit.
They are, man.
They have got a very, very deep room everywhere.
They got, like, three preseason. I know it's preseason. Preseason All-Americans on defense.
Mm-hmm.
A linebacker, their safety, that Michael Taft, and then a D-lineman. So Colin Simmons. So, it should be a very stout Texas team, man. But it'll be a good challenge. Man, we love it. In November, a lot of stakes riding on that game. Probably winner goes to SEC championship type deal.
Right.
So,
I think really their big question mark. Could be wrong about this, but I think it's the offensive line. They like a lot of other teams are only returning one starter on the line. At that point, I would imagine that they've kind of started gelling together.
Yeah.
But hey, that's something to look out for when we get to them. All right. Yeah, I've got Dogs winning by four, Adam.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Narrow win.
I think it'll be a thriller. Yeah, I don't think it'll be a blowout either way.
Right.
So, I think it'll be one instant classic that comes down late in the fourth quarter.
Oh, I love it. Man. So, we're assuming here Georgia continues the home game win streak because the next week we've got November 22nd versus Charlotte, the 49ers.
Yeah.
Not the San Francisco 49ers.
The Charlotte 49ers, yeah. Baby.
12:45 p.m. What a weird kickoff. First meeting with Charlotte. We've never played the Charlotte 49ers before.
Have we not?
No.
Ah, how about that? Yeah.
First time.
Good.
This will be an excellent family game. It's not going to be hot.
That's right.
It will be a nice, we'll say 50-degree
Oh, yeah,
November
it'll be good.
Day.
Hopefully the sun beaming down. Yeah. Just, a good comfortable game to go to.
Right.
Yeah, you're right, 100%.
A little blustery, a little wind in the air.
Yeah, I like it.
This might be Benson's first game we take him to.
Perfect.
Yep.
Sounds great.
Got to do the little earmuffs. But
got it. Yep.
Yeah, Adam, what do you think about Charlotte this year?
I don't know anything about Charlotte, quite frankly.
Okay.
I don't know what they got going on up there in the Queen City.
Look at you guys.
Yeah, so should be a very just fun day, man, and hopefully rest of people get ready for a big matchup on Black Friday.
You're not worried about this game, though, right?
No. Nah. Okay. Maybe just a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. Of course not. So, yeah, Charlotte, great placement in the schedule to have that right after a big emotional game against Texas, man. So
for sure.
Hopefully it'll be something that we're still fairly healthy at that point in time, and you could get some guys some good reps in the sense of being able to go and let them play the first half, your starters, and then rest them on a short week going into Black Friday against Tech.
Yeah. I'm assuming this will be senior day as well, right?
Right.
Yeah. Be good. All right, and then, yeah, the last game of the regular season, Friday, November 28th, we play Tech in Atlanta, but not in Bobby Dodd. We go to the Benz. My gosh, 3:30, ABC. You know, this is the first off-campus meeting since 1913.
Really?
Is that not insane? Over 100-something years, we've always played on one of each other's campuses. And, of course, the almighty dollar, Invesco QQQ, comes in. They say, hey, we want to create a Atlanta Gridiron Classic game, yada, yada. That is so freaking stupid.
Tired of people taking away tradition.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, this is clean old-fashioned hate. It should be played on the campus. I hate that we're not going to historic Hyundai Stadium.
Yeah.
Hyundai Field or whatever it's called
Grant
now.
Field,
Grant Field at Hyundai Stadium or whatever we got down there. I mean, it's going to be a weird field, Clark, going into the Benz. We go into the Benz, you're thinking SEC championship or a big opening team like Oregon or Clemson, Labor Day weekend, open up the season, or a playoff game in the Peach Bowl, right? So this is going to be a different feel. I don't really know what to expect as far as crowd attendance. If it'll be a bunch of Tech fans there, probably not. I mean, heck, they don't even show up to their own stadium when Georgia plays, right? So Georgia will take it over to be completely covered in red and black. I don't know how full it'll be, if it'll be all 75,000 or so in the Benz or not. But it'll be interesting to see what, I don't know, is going on during that point in time. But, Clark, I'll say something. I think there's a strong possibility that both teams could be in the playoff hunt when this game's played.
I'm right there with you, actually. Yep. We're going to get to that in just a second. Okay. That's kind of a bold take I've got later. Might not be so bold. I don't know. But, I mean, this is – you know, I think we should all just boycott buying these tickets. If you're going to this game, I know, like, some people have them. Like, y'all have them right now. But for the rest of us, if you've not bought a ticket to this game, we're boycotting this until the morning of, and we're going to teach them that they can't
do this crap.
They can't just go in and price tickets for a regular season game at a neutral site for, like, $300 in the upper deck or whatever. Yep. Like, you're not going to do that with us.
No.
You're not going to do it. And so we're all boycotting this.
All right.
And we're all going to buy.
Start the movement.
We're all going to buy our tickets Saturday morning.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Do it.
I'll see if I can actually stick to that.
But I like it.
We got to teach them a lesson.
That's right. I mean, you got to teach the Invesco QQQ group.
Yeah.
Like, probably don't know anything about college football.
Right.
You think, like, the CEO of Invesco QQQ? Let's look at the CEO of Invesco QQQ.
Okay.
Invesco
QQQ CEO. Here we go. Andrew Schlossberg. Do you think Andrew Schlossberg?
See where Andrew resides?
No. That guy.
What do you think? Where does Invesco QQQ reside? Like, where's their home office?
I don't know. Probably Atlanta.
You think it is Atlanta?
Maybe.
You think Andrew is a big.
He might be a big football kind of guy. He kind of.
Does he? Does he have that?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Go up there. Go up.
Northwestern University.
Oh, my God.
No. Go.
Second member. He was.
What?
Of the Americas. Ooh, he's an important individual. Wait. Go down one more tidbit about up. Continental. Wait. Head of. Oh, so he spent some time in Europe. He's probably a soccer guy.
Oh, you know,
he said in 1619 he was head of the European.
Big outfit, FIFA guy.
I'm sure. Old Schlossberg.
Schlossberg, man.
Yes, for the old dollar. They don't care that they're ripping away clean old-fashioned hate.
That's ridiculous.
And the universities probably don't quite frankly care.
No, they don't.
Because they're getting a good payday out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But us, the fans, do.
That's right.
It's going to be weird. Black Friday in the Benz.
Don't get shot.
Just like the Yeah, no.
Keep your head on a swivel.
Keep your head on a swivel. Just like the good Lord intended, the Invesco QQQ Georgia versus Georgia Tech football gridiron classic, baby.
Oh, man. Yeah, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I hate it, too. And
I love going to Bobby Dodd. I know it sounds crazy. I love going there, taking over their stadium, beating them in their own
place. Sitting in the upper deck where, like, you're above the stadium lights, so you're in the dark, and you're watching the Atlanta skyline.
Like, you have to take your flashlight out on your iPhone to just make sure you don't trip down the stairs.
Yeah.
That's how dark it is up there.
It is, man. And then you just look at the skyline and the distance, man. Yeah, I mean, that's tradition. That's tradition. We've been doing that forever. And I don't like how it bodes, too, with how I think Tech could be and how weird of a feeling it'll be being in the bins that particular day.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we've played in that stadium way more than they have.
That's right.
Know it. And I don't know what that's worth, but it has to be worth something, I guess. Yeah, I mean, Georgia Tech, though, in terms of X's and O's, they're a very formidable opponent, which is just I hate saying. But, hey, they've covered. The last three meetings, they have covered against the Dogs.
That's true. And three meetings that Brent Key's been the head coach for Georgia Tech as an interim and two full-time years.
I think Brent Key's life's mission is to beat Georgia
In his life. There's no doubt.
I think he's obsessed with us. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is, man. And I think Haynes King is a very, very, very good college quarterback. He will not play in the NFL, but as far as just the grit and his ability to get things done with his legs in between rushing the ball, in between tackles, and, you know, when he throws the ball, pretty accurate, I feel like. And, I mean, one of those guys that's a veteran quarterback who's played a lot of football, and I think them having Haynes King will be a factor in them being up in the top of the ACC standings at the end of the year, I feel like, as well, as you know, in the hunt for ACC championship game. But I feel like what happened in Athens last year, that overtime game, Kirby doesn't like Georgia Tech just as much as Brent Key doesn't like Georgia.
That's true.
So, Georgia Tech's obsessed with beating Georgia after coming just short in Athens last Black Friday. But Georgia remembers what happened, and they don't like Georgia Tech either. So, Kirby will have this team ready. Georgia will win this football game. And I think it'll be one of the more impressive performances that Georgia's had against Georgia Tech since Brent Key's been the head coach in Atlanta.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, that would be great. We need that. Yeah, but I do think this will be one of Brent Key's best teams at Tech. They do return a lot on both sides of the ball. They are bringing in a new defense coordinator, though, so we'll see how that goes. But, I think you're right, Adam. I think this is a win. I think it's going to be one of the more impressive wins, despite them being ticked off and making it their life's mission to just beat their big brother. It's not going to happen this year. Just not.
That's right.
So, that pretty much wraps up the regular season there. So, Adam, we're both kind of seeing an 11-1 season.
Yeah, I can very well see 10-2 as well.
Okay. 11-1 at best.
11-1 at best. I don't think it'll be 12-0. If it's 12-0, oh my gosh.
Oh, we're floating on a cloud.
Oh, absolutely, man. But I feel like we need to address this too, Clark. College football has changed so much now that a 10-2 season is great. 11-1 is elite. Mm-hmm. And I think as fans, we have got to reset ourselves that 10-2. I mean, even in the years past, we were blessed to be disappointed with a 10-2 year almost. But we've got to know now with the parity in the league how depth is now across the whole nation in college football, that how decimating injuries are, that you don't have just guys ready to go to plug in like we have in the past, you know, in the sense that I think obviously injuries hurt every single football team, but now – with the lack of experience and depth that we've grown accustomed to having in Athens, even though we still are loaded with five stars, man, it's going to be very hard to get through this SEC schedule and go 12-0 anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think 11-1 is very elite, and 10-2 would be great. 10-2 gets you in the playoff. And what I love about now, this 12-team playoff, we've talked about, do we like it, do we not like it? I think it bodes well for somebody like Georgia this year who has all the pieces to win a national championship. But I think their team will be clicking on all cylinders at the end of the year when some of these young guys kind of get comfortable growing to their own, and all these roles and positions are filled on both sides of the football, man. And, hopefully if it's so far, knock on wood, in camp, it's been a great injury report, I feel like. But I think it's going to be one of those things, man, where if Georgia gets in the playoffs, look out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you.
But you could see some losses, two losses potentially in September, October, that's going to sting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing we're going to have to look. There's going to be a lot of blown coverages and assignments on the defensive side of the football early on. I think there's going to be some stuff that as fans you have to be patient with, Clark, and let these boys grow up that, you know, we're going to get frustrated with. But it's just part of these guys growing up and this talent. I think there's going to be a lot. This is probably the most talented freshman class Kirby's ever had coming into Athens.
Oh, yeah.
And that says something. And I think a lot of those guys are going to be fighting for getting on the field in key roles. Although, I mean, you look at Elijah Griffin, J.J. Haney, guy from Germany. Mm-hmm. He's only played 2 years of high school football. He's going to get some reps on the defensive line with Jordan Hall, Christian Miller, and Elijah Griffin. Juan Gaston. Yeah, C.J. Wiley and Tylan Taylor are going to play significant minutes in a loaded wide receiver room, man. Juan Gaston probably going to be a right guard. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Morris on the left side. I love what I've heard from the offensive line coming out of camp. So the whole offense as a whole, actually. So, I kind of think 11-1, 10-2. That's where I'm going with. I really can't pinpoint where those losses will be. I know we alluded to Auburn. But, you can see – I could see Georgia losing Florida. I can see them losing to Auburn. Of course, Alabama or Texas or so. So I feel like they're going to get Ole Miss this year. I'm not really just right now. I mean, yes, you could lose that game, of course, but I feel like at home against Ole Miss, what happened in Oxford last year, definitely going to get them. But kind of if you had two losses right now. So I see right there in your notes you kind of have 10-2. Mm-hmm. We said Auburn. What would be the other game that concerns you the most?
I'd probably say Texas at home.
Despite
it going to be an electric atmosphere, Texas definitely has a complete team, a loaded roster, and, you know, I mean, if we, you know, that's really when the injury bug catches up to you at that point in the year. And, I mean, same for everybody in the league, right? I mean, it's not just Georgia that deals with an injury bug. But it seems like it really shows its face, it rears its head later in the season. And so, you know, if we don't stay healthy, I will be very concerned about Texas coming in. Because they want revenge too, you know. Yeah. I think there's sort of a rivalry starting to brew between Texas and Georgia. But
absolutely, we'll see, man. So, who you got in Atlanta?
That's a good question. One I haven't really thought about, to be honest with you. I mean, if this holds, Georgia would be in more than likely.
Oh, absolutely, they would. And probably rematch against Alabama or Texas.
I would say
a team in this scenario that we have that we beat them in the regular season. And we did it last year. Do you beat an Alabama or Texas two times?
Mm-hmm.
1 year.
I don't know.
The potential of playing for a third time in the playoffs, you know?
That's wild, man.
My gut feeling since the spring, man, has been Georgia doesn't make it to Atlanta but goes further in the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. So last year you win an SEC championship. You get eliminated in the quarterfinal. But this year I feel like they're a playoff team, but a Final Four team.
I hope so. So you have them in your Final Four is what you're saying.
I do. Okay. I just think this team is going to be very dangerous to play at the end of the year.
I like
it. So if you're going to get Georgia this year, you better get them early.
Yeah, for sure. Auburn. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so with that said, Adam, I've got my Final Four teams. I want to hear yours. Obviously, Georgia's one of them.
I'm going to go with Georgia. Yes, it's a homer pick, but just looking at it, I think, like I said, they're going to catch fire at the right time, and this is where that 12-team playoff really plays well for this rendition of the Georgia Bulldogs. So I'm going to go with Georgia. I think Penn State, Clark, actually lives up to expectation this year. They have what you've traditionally seen out of high-level championship teams in college football, a returning multiple-year starting quarterback, very experienced in Drew Aller, and a strong defensive front. Mm-hmm. And I think they have a revamped defense over there with Ohio State's defensive coordinator coming over that I feel like Penn State kind of gets over that Michigan-Ohio State hump in the Big Ten and Oregon hump. I think they actually win the conference, man. So I'm going to go with Penn State getting to the Final Four. And then as much as I hate to say it, I think Clemson will. I think Cade Klubnik, experienced quarterback, man. And I think Georgia. And then my fourth team, I'm probably going to have to say, will be Alabama.
Wow. Really? Why Alabama?
I don't know. It just feels like
you just have a feeling.
I just have that feeling, man, that I think they're going to be a I think especially they could be like Georgia at the end of the year if Ty Simpson comes out and plays very good football in a sense and is the elite passer. I think Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer, they get Ryan Grubb back as offense coordinator. Got fired from the Seahawks in the NFL. Grubb and DeBoer together have been very elite. I think they're going to throw the football a lot through there, have a lot of success through there, obviously, with Ryan Williams and Bernard there. But that's what they do. That's what Grubb and DeBoer do. I think they were limited with that with Milroe last year, as dynamic as – even though Milroe looked like Tom Brady or who Michael Vick all in one against Georgia the two times he played against Georgia. All in all, I think Milroe limited what DeBoer wanted to do offensively. And if Ty Simpson is – what he could potentially be, then I think they could have a very very good offense there. And I think, of course, their defense will be good, too, under Kane Womack. Yeah. But on the flip side of me saying that, you could be yelling at your TV screen, well, if Ty Simpson's so good, how come he hadn't took the job the past 2 years? Yeah. And that's a valid point, too. And I hope that's the reason why, is because he couldn't – I mean, he couldn't beat out Jalen Milroe. And there isn't anything special there. He has hit his ceiling. So – I don't know, man. I really do hope I'm wrong and Alabama loses three games or so. And they don't even make the playoffs. So, but I think right now as it stands right there, Penn State, Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama.
That is almost identical to mine. I've got Penn State, I've got Clemson, I've got Georgia, and I've got Texas, not Alabama. Yeah. But I definitely could see a world where Alabama gets in. I could see a world where Georgia Tech somehow.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the beauty of this of this playoff.
Let's talk about that real quick, Clark. I mean, you had two ACC teams get in last year in SMU and Clemson. SMU goes up to Happy Valley and Penn State, not competitive whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Does that hurt the ACC this year, Clark, in the sense that the committee looks at what happened with SMU last year, that they just get the automatic conference champion that we're going to assume is Clemson at this point?
Potentially.
As sickening as that is. Or do you think a team that – I think Clemson and Georgia Tech would be in the ACC championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
So Clemson beats Tech, and I don't know. But I kind of feel like so I'm going to go with my 12 teams. Just rattle off 12 right now. Those four and the other eight are going to be out of the Big 12. I was going to say Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. I thought Texas Tech would win it, but I think it's going to be they just lost their star running back. They transferred from USC earlier today, it was reported. So I don't think it'll be Texas Tech anymore. I think it'll be Utah or Arizona State. I'm going to go with Arizona State and Kenny Dillingham doing it again.
Wow.
So Arizona State and Boise State, another group of five champion. SEC team, you got Texas, and then I think there'll be another one. How many SEC teams do you think get in?
Oh, I'd say three at least.
Four. You think four?
Four, yeah. I mean, I could definitely see four. I mean, you got to think LSU, A&M.
LSU or A&M, that's a question. I think they play the winner of that game gets in. I'm going to say LSU gets in.
Okay.
So LSU and then Oregon and Ohio State. I don't know how many that was, but somewhere along there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know that's not going out on a limb.
Hey, Michigan. Michigan might sneak in there. If Bryce Underwood is the real deal, they get it together.
Yeah, that's true. I might see that. Maybe. I mean – who knows, man? That's why it's just so hard to predict right now. There's so many different possibilities. Could you see Florida getting in?
Yeah, I definitely could. That would make me sick. Oh, gosh, that would be awful.
So,
but, I mean, yeah, Florida, despite their schedule, and I think if you get to that point and the playoffs start or the committee starts looking at schedules and whatnot, strength of schedule, they're going to look at Florida.
Oklahoma, Clark.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
I think Oklahoma and Florida are two teams, if they go 9-3, they're in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. I think they're the only two teams in the nation with their two schedules that can afford to lose three games. And if they go 9-3, as a committee, you got to look at them and say, yeah, they're going in. They're going to be in. So either one of them.
Yeah. A lot of possibilities.
I mean, heck, Clark, Texas could lose to Ohio State, to Florida, Georgia. I mean, they could lose three at least, maybe even four. Mm-hmm. They could lose to Oklahoma and Dallas. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, but definitely could be 9-3.
Yeah.
And Texas won't see Oklahoma, I feel like, could get the nod in with their schedule at 9-3, but Texas with 9-3 with their schedules out, I think.
Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities.
It's getting me a little bit nervous. I ain't going to lie to you. get me a little bit nervous because, I mean, how nervous would you be if you lose to Alabama, then you lose to Auburn, and you're sitting there with two losses in the middle of October?
Oh, yeah, that'd be real rough. Yeah. I mean, that'd be tough to come back from right there for sure. You're going to have to wish other teams lose and, you know, we just backdoor way in.
Well, at that point, man, I still think you get your feet underneath you and you go 10-2 and you're still getting in the playoffs, man. Mm-hmm. But I think this year is a possibility that, heck, we have that first playoff game at Sanford Stadium. Or either we go on the road opening round. I think this year we will not have that bye that we had last year.
I hope
and
not.
And heck, Clark, I mean, you look at where these teams were, I think that could be work to your advantage as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you get an extra week of rest for some guys getting them healthy, but no.
I don't know.
I love it, man. It's here.
It's finally here.
We get to talk about it every week from this point forward till the end of January.
I like it. Well, Adam, let's start wrapping this up. I want to ask you, though, right quick, do you have a bold take specifically for Georgia football? I know we kind of said, hey, Georgia Tech might be in the playoff. I think one outside – hold up before we go to Georgia. I think one outside of the whole Georgia football bubble, Bryce Underwood in Michigan, they will beat Ohio State
– again?
For a fourth straight year. Or maybe it's fifth. Is it fifth?
No, it'd be four. Well, four. No, no, 21.
No, it
22,
is fifth.
Yeah. So they beat them in 21, 22, 23, and 20. Yeah, this should be 5 years in a row.
It's going to happen.
All right. I love that. I'd be all for it.
It's in the big house, so, I mean, that plays
hey,
well.
Hey, did you, real quick, did you see the sanctions Michigan got handed
oh,
to?
Oh, yeah. Them? I was slapping the wrist. Golly, man.
Would you pay $35 million as a school? I mean, obviously, yeah. We don't have personally $35 million to pay for a national championship. Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah.
100%. I mean, it'll always be tainted, but
yeah,
they didn't get stripped of it.
Right. So.
Yeah.
All right, so bold take for Georgia football specifically. You can talk about a player. You can talk about the team as a whole. What's your bold take for Georgia in 2025?
Bold take for Georgia in 2025. Not really a bold take, but I think this team's identity is going to be getting it done on the ground. I think we're going to see the most explosive plays in the backfield. Like when I'm talking about explosive running plays, like 20, 25 yard bursts with this running back room that's going to lead to a lot of success this year on the ground, just complete 180 from last year.
I hope so.
I think you're going to have to, man. This whole season, what we talk about, George, this whole schedule depends on the offensive line, the health of the offensive line and how it's developed from last year. So if this offensive line's healthy, everything rides and dies, I feel like, on Georgia's offensive line for their success this year.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Georgia fans, mine is this. We are going to learn to appreciate Michael Bobo.
All right.
This year as Georgia improves to 40 points per game.
There we go.
That doesn't sound like a lot, but it kind of is now in today's day and age. But I do think we're going to light it up on some teams this year and get to that 40-point mark, which we haven't been to since – probably 2022, yeah, I would say. I don't even know if we got it then, but I don't know. We'll see.
I like it, man.
We'll see.
That's I think the offense, thing. I mean, everything, they won the day, the scrimmage the other day.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. You were there.
I also think kind of had something to do with the defense just not playing super well and getting.
Yeah, well, you had eyes on it, your eyes. Oh, yeah. You were at the scrimmage.
Yeah. You could tell the heat was starting to get to the defense.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh.
We'll have to talk more. I don't feel comfortable sharing the practice notes with just the public, the world.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll talk about it in just a second after we get off the show. But, hey, yeah, if you're a patron, like, that's a perk. Go look at my scrimmage notes from the other day. You can get some good stuff from that. But, yeah. All right, folks. Well, we've had fun on this episode.
Woo!
It's finally here. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us grow this football community. And if you're watching on YouTube, comment below who you're looking out for this season in terms of opponents. What game kind of makes you nervous?
Yeah.
You know, what game are you most excited about? Leave us a comment. We'd love to read them. And if you are, if you're coming to Tres Amigos next Friday night, hit
please
us up.
Come, man.
Yeah,
it's going to be wild.
Send us a DM. Let us know you're coming. We'd love to meet up with you guys and see you then.
Please come to Tres Amigos. Again, it's on Broad, right in the middle of downtown Athens. It's going to be hopping a Friday night in Athens, man. So we'll be out there. We might even have a microphone set up that anybody could just come up, whatever, say what they want to say. So kind of just let – I don't know. So might have to have a quick mute button for the children at home. We are a family-friendly show, but we don't have a delay that we could if we do go that route, man. So no telling what's going to happen there. Mm-hmm. First time we've ever done this before. We've took call-in shows on the road, like at the condo in Amelia Island before the Georgia-Florida game, or if we were at a playoff location, man. But this is the first time we've been in the public having a a call-in show, so it should get rowdy, man. And kind of what we're doing, testing the waters for this thing before Marshall opening day, and then maybe even ramp it up more before Alabama, before Texas, and the great home slate that we have in Athens this year, Clark. I just want to reiterate again, as Georgia fans, going into this season, remember where college football has changed, this landscape has changed, and set your expectations up that 10-2 is a great year, 11-1 is a great year. If Georgia doesn't go 12-0, the sky's not falling.
Right.
I'm very high on this Georgia team. The talent is absolutely there to win yet again another national championship. This young group is absolutely loaded with studs, man. If the injury bug doesn't bite Georgia, I feel like we'll be in the thick of things in late January once again, Clark. And what a blessing it is to be able to, even though we have red and black glasses on, to still be able to say that year in and year out of this show, man. Mm-hmm. And year in and year out of this show, when you get to December, ever since we started this, fifth year in a row, Clark, Georgia has had realistic national championship hopes. Every year when the regular season has ended of this show, the past 4 years, Georgia has been in the national championship hunt, man. So, yet again, it'll happen this year. But be patient with this team. There's going to be some growing pains, I think, early in the season. But once this talent grows up and it develops, dogs are going to be, you know what, when it's time for postseason play, man, at the end of the regular season. So, it's here. We've read enough scrimmage practice reports. They're tired of hitting the same color jersey. It's time to go hit some green, some Marshall Thunder and Herd. You get live college football this week. The earth is tilted on its correct axis right again, Clark. It's time for college football. Get that red and black out, baby. Go support your local high school, man. Nothing better than fall in the southeastern United States, specifically in the state of Georgia. We're blessed. We love y'all. Go Dawgs! Go Dawgs!